Moses witnesses the creation, Moses 2, science and the creation of man, Moses 2, 26 and 27, Book of Moses essay number 51, by the Book of Mormon Central team with Jeffrey M. Bradshaw. The beautiful copper engraving above by Noel Pisano was made from meticulous observation of one of the many prehistoric paintings in the cave of Peshmerga, in the heart of the Massif Central of southern France. Although the cave walls and ceilings contain many images of greater sophistication, this simple tracing of a single hand is singularly arresting. Its original is solidly dated to 25,000 years ago, yet in standing to examine it in close quarters, the gap of time between oneself and the skilled artist is suddenly erased, and we are brought to admire the beauty and subtlety of his technique. To create this work, the artist had to crawl into the cavern by candlelight. After contemplating his design and choosing the ideal place for its execution, he placed his hand on the wall to serve as a stencil. To create the colored outline, he projected pigment onto the rock by blowing, perhaps with the help of a sprayer held tight in his lips. This well-honed technique allowed a negative of the hand, surrounded by symbols whose meaning is now lost to us, to be preserved tens of thousands of years later as an ancient snapshot, the sole remaining memory of the life of this individual. In another chamber, we find what is undoubtedly a family portrait. 14 hands of adults and children are found together here, in a deep, submerged section of the cavern now accessible only during periods of drought. The creators of such relics, quote, almost certainly intended them to last for generations, end of quote. Elsewhere in the cave, visitors are moved to discover a dozen footprints of an adolescent boy drawn into this place by unknown rites, hostile forces of nature, or the mere boldness of curiosity, and preserved intact for 12,000 years in the clay of the cavern floor. As a witness of the great effort and care sometimes made to honor the dead in this era, Hariri notes the 1955 discovery in the Sungir, Russia, of, quote, a 30,000-year-old burial site belonging to a mammoth hunting culture. Among other things, it contained two skeletons buried head to head. One belonged to a boy aged about 12 or 13 and the other to a girl of about 9 or 10. The boy was covered with 5,000 ivory beads. He wore a fox-tooth hat and a belt with 250 fox teeth. At least 60 foxes had to have their teeth pulled to get that many. The girl was adorned with 5,250 ivory beads. Both children were surrounded by statuettes and various ivory objects. A skilled craftsman or craftswoman probably needed about 45 minutes to prepare a single ivory bead. In other words, fashioning the 10,000 ivory beads that covered the two children, not to mention the other objects, required some 7,500 hours of delicate work, well over 3 years of labor by an experienced artisan. All that over 30,000 years ago. Hugh Nibley, with his deep love of God's creatures, had great sympathy for these ancient individuals and pondered long and hard about how their stories fit in with those of Adam and Eve. For a thoughtful perspective on this issue, we can do no better than to cite him directly. Quote, the philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer, in his essay on the Christian system, said that the two fatal flaws of Christianity were, one, denying spirit and mind to any other creatures but ourselves, and two, allowing life on no other world but our own. These should be no concern for us. Do not begrudge existence to creatures that looked like men long, long ago, nor deny them a place in God's affection, or even a right to exaltation, for our scriptures allow them such. Nor am I overly concerned as to just when they might have lived, for their world is not our world. They have all gone away long before our people ever appeared. God assigned them their proper times and functions, as he has given me mine, a full-time job that admonishes me to remember his words to the overly eager Moses, quote, for mine own purpose I have made these things. Here is wisdom, and it remaineth in me. It is Adam, as my own parent, who concerns me. When he walks onto the stage, then and only then the play begins. He opens a book and starts calling out names. They are the sons of Adam, who qualify as the sons of God, Adam himself being a son of God. This is the book of remembrance from which many have been blotted out. End of quote from Nibley. From a similar perspective, it is significant that the Book of Mormon, as a history of those who were Nephites by lineage or adoption, records only incidentally the story of the Lamanites and their associates. So also the Book of Moses tells us very little about the history of the Cainites, or the children of Adam that were born before Cain and Abel, who followed Satan by choice and were disqualified as sons of God. End of quote. The account instead focuses on the inauguration of the temple ordinances among the righteous, which began, as Nibley indicates, quote, when God set them apart, gave them a blessing, and gave them a new name, and registered them in the new book of the generations of Adam, end of quote from Nibley. In light of what Scripture tells us, how do we account for the results of genetic studies indicating that every person who has ever lived on the earth is descended from a common population of perhaps 10,000 founders who lived 100,000 to 150,000 years ago, long before Adam and Eve entered mortality? Drawing on the richer sources of Scripture produced through modern revelation, Nibley raises a series of questions with an eye to finding scriptural support for surviving non-Adamic and non-Noachian lineages that might help explain such findings. Quote, what about those people who lived before Cain and Abel? What about those who disappeared from sight? What about those who were not even warned of the flood? What about the comings and goings of Enoch's day between the worlds? Who were his people? What about the creatures we do not see around us? Speaking of Noah, the Lord said, blessed is he through whom whose seed Messiah shall come. Methuselah boasted about his line as something special. Why special if it included the whole human race? These blessings have no meaning if all the people of the earth and all the nations are the seed of Noah and Enoch. What other line could the Messiah come through? Well, there were humans who were not invited by Enoch's preaching. End of quote from Nibley. Nibley, no doubt, was wondering whether some of these shadowy peoples described in Scripture might be neither descendants of Noah nor of Adam, but rather distantly related contemporaries to whose descendants may have mixed at various times with Adamic lineage. Of relevance to is the reminder by Ryan Parr that blessings promised through descendants from patriarchs such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are to be ultimately confirmed through the making and keeping of sealing ordinances and associated covenants, not by genetics, since, quote, nuclear DNA finding its way from any one of these progenitors to any descendant of today is extremely unlikely from a biological perspective, end of quote. Happily, the promises made to the faithful posterity are not about inheriting fragments of Abrahamic DNA, but rather about receiving the fullness of Abrahamic blessings, assured in the end through the keeping of covenants. Otherwise, the doctrines that describe the possibility of adoption into the Abrahamic lineage would be meaningless.